You know why you've been called a know-it-all? Because you are. And that's not something to be ashamed of. It's a gift. Your sensitivity, your connection to the collective unconscious, we call it claircognizance, not know-it-all. These are gifts that you brought here as answers to the prayers that were made during World War II. Make sense? There you were in heaven, all comfortable. And the earthly recruitment officer said, hey, they need you back here on Earth. And you said, Earth? I don't want to go to Earth. They weren't very nice to me the last time I was there. They kept calling me a witch. And they even burned me at the stake. I don't want to go back there. Can't I just be someone's spirit guide? And the recruitment officer said, no, humans don't listen to their angels and guides. You've got to take on human form for them to listen to you. So here you are. You are truly answered prayer. And you feel your mission on a deep level. You feel compelled to make the world a better place. Perhaps you know the form that your mission takes. Perhaps you're very aware that I am a healer, or I am a teacher, or I am an artist, or I am to help the children. Some part of you knows deep down what you're here to do. Perhaps you've forgotten what you signed up for, but there's little clues, starting with remembering when you were a child and people would ask you, what do you want to be when you grow up? That's a clue, because as a child you were in touch with your sacred contract. You knew what you were destined to do in this lifetime. So if you can remember what you told people, it gives you a kernel. It may not be exactly what you said. Perhaps you told people you wanted to be a nurse or a fireman, and you don't need to be that exact occupation, but something involving healing or something involving helping people along those lines. When I was a child, I told everyone I wanted to be a fairy godmother. And I feel like I have that position now. I really feel like I help people to have their wishes come true. The light workers who have reached adulthood came here and prayed fervently for more angels to help us. And the answers to their prayers started to come in around the 1970s. And their children were born, who we now call the Indigo Children. The Indigo Children have been here for a while, but the big influx of them started to happen around the 1970s as the children of the 50s grew into adulthood. The earliest indigos, we call them scouts. There are indigos who are in their 30s, 40s, and even older, but most indigos, the greatest majority, are in their teens and 20s right now. Just as we are sensitive and we feel apart and different, the indigos feel so at an even deeper level. They are sensitive to the point of it being painful for them. You feel energy, yes? When you walk into a room, you can feel the energy in there. When you meet someone, you can feel in your gut or your body whether this is someone that you feel like you want to spend time with or someone you feel repelled by, yes? Imagine feeling that 10 times as strong, and it puts you into the body sensations that indigos have. They feel at such a deep level that it sometimes is difficult for them to know how to handle their feelings. Indigo children are sensitive to chemicals. You are sensitive to chemicals. How many of you have found that you no longer can tolerate foods that you used to enjoy eating? Or that you no longer can tolerate commercial toiletry products or colognes, and that artificial scents and artificial chemicals now make you feel off balance or give you rashes, or you just no longer can withstand them. The indigo children are born this way, where they have a high percentage of allergies and rashes to chemicals because of their high sensitivity. Indigo's very, very sensitive to food additives. We know from studies that food coloring in particular is correlated with hyperactivity in these children. And one study that was double-blind, meaning that neither the participants nor the scientists knew who was getting food coloring, one study showed that just one cookie that contained food coloring produced measurable hyperactivity immediately. Sugar is still a controversial drug. In some people, including these children, does create hyperactivity. In other children, we find that it actually creates more of a depressant effect. And in some children and people, no noticeable or measurable effect at all. But we do know across the board that food coloring does have a definite link to hyperactive behavior and must be taken out of indigo children's diets. Indigo children are sensitive to one aspect of human personality. And this is because their group soul purpose is to take us out of the old energy that we're about to leave, the old energy of competition, greed, and lack of integrity. The old monopoly on patriarchal energy that's very competitive, that is fueled on fear and anger. We're about to leave this, and we're going into a more balanced energy that will be both matriarchal and patriarchal, meaning that we will have more of a male-female balance in our society, in our Western world, as the goddess is reawakening, and as we're going to invite her back, because we kicked her out in the 3rd century out of fear. Now we're going to invite her back, and not in a way that's male-bashing, like some early goddess work was doing, where we said, well, this is all about woman good, man bad. We're not going to go that way, because that's disempowering to everybody. Now it's about that every family needs a mother and a father, including this planet. So inviting back our mother into this arena is bringing us into the new energy of cooperation. And instead of competing for your good, how about manifesting your good? Instead of thinking, I've got to get my share, how about affirming that there's plenty for all of us? And that there's no need to worry or hurry with anything or stress about anything. There's enough for all of us. This is the new energy we're moving into. And the indigo children have come in with a group soul purpose to help usher this in. The universe has been trying to help us bring this new energy in since the 60s. And many light workers have been on the path of ushering in this energy, but we've had difficulty because of a key difference between a light worker and an indigo. And I'm going to ask you to think back to your school days to illustrate this difference. When we were children and we were in school, do you remember being taught something? And as you were learning it, you thought, what does this have to do with my life? Why do I have to learn this? Do you remember thinking that? And did you ever question the teacher and say, hello, why do I need to learn this? And what did the teacher invariably say? Because you have to, because it's required. You just do it. And then what would we say in response to that? We'd say, okay. Okay. And we would swallow our feelings and just sit there and do whatever it was that we thought was irrelevant. We have, as light workers, an ability called disassociation. Disassociation. Disassociation is when you remove your conscious awareness from the situation that you're in. You leave your body. You've all done that, right? You swallow your feelings, you tell yourself, well, my feelings don't matter, they're irrelevant, and you turn them off. You numb yourself. Light workers can do this, and often do this, because as light workers, we've had a very tough assignment. We came in the thick of the old energy. We were born, especially those of you who were the earlier light workers.